Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you've been with us for the last few weeks, we know we're doing a summer series on all of the series I've done, well, actually many of them, in the last 3 years or so. I'm just taking an entire series and putting it into one broadcast this summer so you can get a flavor of this particular portrait of God. And if it's particularly interesting to you, you can always then go to my archived files of broadcasts at my website, markpg.org, called Helping You Hear God. That's markpg.org. Just press on the broadcast box and then the Portraits of God box, and you'll have the series. And the one that the Lord's put on my heart today, I'm so excited to share with you, is this one. It's number 89, if you're a note taker, that I did back in May of 2023. And here's the portrait we'll be walking through today. He is our deeper joy. Oh, I'm so excited about this. And I hope you've caught our previous broadcast this summer about how He is our abiding love, our whispering wisdom, our baseline peace, our empowering rest, and so many more. All of these overviews of series that we've done before. So I'm excited to break this one down for you, unpack it. There's 10 takeaways. It was actually 4 different broadcasts back in May of 2023. Again, it's number 89. Today, we're talking about how He is our deeper joy. And as we get started, as is our custom, oh, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Father, I'm so honored to be able to come together with my brothers and sisters to sit at Your feet and do the best I can to just unpack these marvelous truths from Your love letters to us, Your scriptures, about how You are our deeper joy. So, Lord, we look forward to seeing what You have for us today. Open our eyes, ears, and heart to receive everything that You have for us. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, we're going to be going, first of all, to Psalm 105, verse 43. If you want to jot that down as a note taker, we'll be also be going to Psalm 51 and to Psalm 90 and to Psalm 27 and Nehemiah 8, all over the place as we take this journey in discovering 10 ways in which the Lord is indeed our deeper joy. So here's number one. The Lord, our deeper joy, comes when we, number one, remember that He chose us. Yeah, the deeper joy comes when we remember that He chose us. Psalm 105:43 says it this way. And He brought forth His people with joy, His chosen ones with a joyful shout. Wow, this is powerful. So let me take you back to the playgrounds when we were in elementary school and the dreaded time for many when they started choosing up teams to play kickball or to play keep away or whatever games you played in those days. And oh, how nervous we got, hoping we wouldn't be the last ones picked, how embarrassing that would be, but how exhilarated we were when we were one of the first ones picked. Well, tap into that for a moment and remember that the Lord chose you in the mystery of His ways. Ephesians 1 talks about how He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world unto adoptions as sons and daughters. We can't fully explain all of that. We know that we have to respond by saying yes in that salvation equation of how we come to Christ. But the scripture says that those who have come to Christ were actually chosen by Him. We are adopted as sons and daughters, it says in the scriptures. You know, and of course, that also says we're born again as sons and daughters. Hey, have you, by the way, really been thrilled by the fact that there's so many metaphors the Lord uses to describe what it is to become one with Him. I mean, adopted as sons and daughters and born again, as we just said, but also as a bride of Christ, as a friends of Christ. I mean, all of these different ways. And the voluntary bond servants of the Lord. There's so many ways He describes how we become saved. But this one, remembering that He chose us, is one of the places where you can find deeper joy in the Lord whenever you're struggling, my friends. He designed you. He created you. He destined you. He's using you and the unique giftedness that He's given you. If you have come to Christ, it is evidence of the fact of how somehow in the mystery of His ways before the foundation of the world, He created and chose you to be one of His own. Wow. Now, that's a whole sermon, and actually, that's a whole sermon series in and of itself, but we're doing an overview, and we're talking about the topic of deeper joy, so we'll leave that very, very full topic to another occasion about how He chose us. But remember that, because that's a source of deeper joy. We all love to be chosen. Well, number two. Explore His gift of our salvation. The Lord's deeper joy, the Lord Himself as our deeper joy, comes when we explore His gift of salvation. Psalm 51, verse 12 puts it this way, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." This is a prayer from the psalmist here. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, O Lord, and sustain me with a willing spirit." When you explore the gift of your salvation in the Lord, one of the things you'll discover, or several things that you'll discover, as you look at all that's involved in our salvation, is that number one, you were rescued. He rescued us. We were like downcast sheep, upside down, destined to die because like a turtle on its back, a woolly lamb on its back can't get back on its feet. It has to be rescued by a compassionate shepherd who sees them and rescues them. As I mentioned a moment ago, new bride. You become the new bride of Christ. What joy comes to the new brides and the bridegrooms, by the way, newlyweds. Wow. The gift of your salvation is that way as well. Not only that, we get transformed. The scripture says, if anyone is in Christ, we are new creations. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You were once like a caterpillar, but you're becoming a butterfly and able to fly now and not just crawl around in the dirt. When you explore that, wow, new creations, transformed. A metamorphosis takes place when you get saved. And then there's a oneness or a union with Christ that happens when you get saved. We cover this in the Deeper Dive series, if we want to check that one out. All the depths that we can experience in the Lord and to not stay at the shallows. He is our compassionate rescuer. That's level number one. He is our gentle teacher. That's level number two. He is our gracious master, not a harsh one. That's number three. But don't stop there. Just keep swimming. Discover that He is your loving father or loving bridegroom. That's where a lot of transformation takes place when we realize that and receive it, and that we become one with Him. The oneness with Christ is the deepest mystery of all. Swim those depths. Swim those depths. And boy, when you explore His gift of the depths of our salvation, oh, deeper joy comes. Well, here's the third one. As we go through our list of 10 here, number one, remember that He chose you. Number two, explore His gift of salvation. Number three, welcome His morning kindness. Oh, our deeper joy. The Lord Himself comes more experientially when we welcome His morning kindness. Psalm 90, verse 1, puts it this way. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. I hope you're cultivating a morning quiet time with the Lord. There's so many ways to do it. One of my favorite ways is a pre-dawn prayer walk. I love getting out just before dawn to see the stars and the sky and the moon and whatever phase it is as I walk along a back trail near our neighborhood and just commune with the Lord and get that sense of wonder as I behold the stars. And then as the sunrise begins to come up and see the glow of the morning begin. Always a reminder of fresh beginnings that we have every day in Christ. Oh, my soul, if that is where you go every morning when you first wake up to have your first conversation of the day with the Lord in a personal quiet time, you are welcoming His morning kindness, and that really helps cultivate a spirit of joy, even if you're going through difficult times, especially if you're going through difficult times. Oh, welcome His morning kindness. Well, here's a fourth thing our Lord, our deeper joy, wants you to know, that we can have deeper joy when we bask in His glorious presence. When we bask in His glorious presence. I love how Psalm 21, verse 6 puts it. For you make Him most blessed forever. You make Him joyful with gladness in your presence. Do you practice the presence of God? There's a classic book by a man named Brother Lawrence, referred to, who wrote a book, old book, centuries old, called Practicing the Presence of God. He was in a monastery and stuff. Even washing the dishes, he would say, when I wash the dishes, you know, one of my duties as a monk, you know, I would practice the presence of God. He was with me and just washing the dishes. And, you know, I was going on a deeper journey of this particular one a few weeks ago, and still a minute, to be honest with you. And a portrait of God came to my mind about He is our abiding presence. He is our abiding presence. When we recognize that His abiding presence is a very real thing, that if we're saved, He lives within our hearts. He's always with us, abiding right there. Abiding means to marinate or to saturate or to be constant, to be rooted in, that type of thing. His presence is always there. It's an abiding presence. And the Lord began to show me, the Son, as you practice my abiding presence, here's His five little things to keep in mind, as from the Lord, as He whispers to us, as we bask in His glorious presence. Listen for the whispers that say, practice my presence, embrace my love. You know how much He loves you. Embrace it. Don't just say, well, thanks, but I know I'm more of a jerk. I don't deserve it. Don't go there. Embrace His love. Practice my presence, He says. Embrace my love. Follow my whispers. Don't just hear them. Follow my whispers. Trust my timing. And go share my heart. That last part's important. You know, Elijah had run off to a cave when he was overwhelmed with fear, and he was lamenting before the Lord, and the Lord let him grieve. He practiced His presence by grieving in the presence of the Lord. That's a good thing. But he was losing sight of embracing His love and following His whispers and trusting His timing. And there came a time when the Lord said, okay, you've been in the cave long enough. Now it's time to go. Go and share my heart. And God encouraged him, and he talked to him in a still small voice. Oh, my friend, abide in His presence. Bask in His glorious presence, and joy will come. And again, listen for those whispers if you're jotting it down. Practice my presence. Embrace my love. Follow my whispers. Trust my timing. That's a hard one, isn't it? Trusting His timing. It's always later than we think. Sometimes it's quicker than we think. But trust His timing, and then go share my heart. It's not just to sit and soak, it's to go and share. Oh, I just love that. All right, so we'll continue our journey. We come now to number 5, how He is our deeper joy. So look to Him for joy and strength. Look to Him for joy and strength. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 10 through 11 puts it this way. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so the Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. If you are grieving, and there's a time you can properly grieve. We talked about that. Jesus grieved in Gethsemane. But there comes a time when the Lord says, all right, now I'm speaking to you. I'm whispering. Listen to me. I am your strength. But here it says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And for years, I haven't really understood that. So what does that mean? That the joy of the Lord? Does he just give it to me and all of a sudden, boom, I feel joyful, I'm happy, I'm giddy? Well, no, we're talking about a deeper joy than that, that even in the midst of grieving, even in the midst of trials, tribulations, discouragement, there can be a deeper joy when you get the bigger picture. And the bigger picture here, I think one of the real keys in what the joy of the Lord is it's his joy with you. His joy with you. Do you receive that reality? Do you believe that that you are the apple of his eye? You bring a spring to his step. You bring joy to him. He delights in you. Most of us would say, I really don't think so. I think he more tolerates me or puts up with me. I'm kind of the black sheep of the family. And it's hard for us to receive the reality that no, he takes joy in you, struggles and all. The Bible even says, while were we yet sinners, he died for us. He loved you so much. And then when we come to him and say yes to his invitation to become one with him, a child of God, his bride, he takes great joy in you, with you. That's the joy it's talking about. Look for him for joy and strength. What are you looking for? The joy of the Lord with you is your strength. When you know he is totally with you, totally loves you, totally embraces you, has a great plan for you, has great timing and all of that, and you lean in to that, swim deeply into that, you will find joy and strength, my friend, no matter what circumstances you are wrestling with. And it is a difficult world. It is a hard and bitter world out there. That's why we need to find our joy and strength and safety and security in him. He is our fortress. He is our rock. He is our hiding place. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Look to him for joy and strength. Well, we're halfway through now our list of 10 of how the Lord is our deeper joy. Remember that he chose us. Explore his gift of our salvation. Welcome his morning kindness. Bask in his glorious presence. Look to him for joy and strength. Now, number 6, savor all his work in your life. Savor. I love that word, by the way. When you savor the taste of something that's particularly good, you just want to, oh, remember that taste as long as you can. Savor all his work in your life. He has done so much in our lives. We just sometimes don't take the time to reflect on all he's already done and is doing in our lives. Here's how it's put in Psalm 92, verse 4. Psalm 92:4, for you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. Oh, I love this. You know, it's not just singing for joy at the works of God's hands in your own life, but also in the lives of those around you. Also in the opportunities given you, also in the world that he has created. That's why, to refer back to those pre-dawn prayer walks that I have, I end up sometimes just singing unto the Lord, you know, for the creation, for the universe, for the stars and all of these things, and for the glory of the creation of this earth, and for the family that we have, and the place we have to live, and the things that he's done in our lives, and how he has brought us through very difficult times and will continue to do so. Savor all his work in your life and those around you. And my friend, the more you savor it, not just kind of pass it off or forget it, the more you savor it, the more joy will come. The deeper the joy you'll have, because he is our deeper joy. Well, here's number 7. Yearn to praise and sing in his courts. Yearn to praise and sing in his courts. Now, this is one that's fascinating to me. Look at Psalm 84, or jot it down, Psalm 84, verses 1 through 2. It says, how lovely are your dwelling places. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. All right, you put all those themes together and you get our takeaway number 7, yearn to praise and sing in his courts. You know, I think there's a couple of applications here. One is to yearn for the day that we are in glory with him. Well, we will be in his actual presence to praise and sing in his courts up above in heaven when we die. You know, and as we've said before, you know, dying is not an end. You know, it's a beginning of a whole new manifested experience in the presence of the Lord to praise and sing in his courts. It's not a termination, it's a transformation, or it's a transportation to another place. You know, that's why the scripture says, oh, death, where is your sting? Because see, believers, we don't terminate. We translate, we transport, we're transformed into his very presence. Wow, phenomenal. But even while we're still on this earth, in the spiritual sense, in that existential sense, in that worship sense of our heart, the kingdom of God is within our heart. Even while we're still on this planet, we can yearn and long to praise and sing in his courts in spirit, even now. I hope you'll cultivate singing unto the Lord in your private quiet time. I find myself doing that more and more these days. In fact, the more and more challenges we face, and we all face challenges and things that can be discouraging, and we do have those emotional ups and downs, I find myself just falling at the feet of the Lord, kind of like when you think about Matthew 11, when Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest. Well, in that rest, you'll also find joy. And you're at his feet, and you worship him for who he is through song. And you long for those times when you just can have that uninterrupted, quiet time early in the morning or late at night or even in the middle of the night. Sometimes I wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning and go, Lord, what's this about? You know, Well, I just treat it as a summons into his courts to listen for his whispers and to offer my praise, maybe even some singing in his courts. Yearn to praise and sing in his courts. And honestly, I'm at the place where when I wake up in the middle of the night, I look forward to that. Well, you must have something special for me. And I have a wonderful time of communion with him. Well, here's number 8. Embrace his comfort when we are troubled. Psalm 126, verses 5-6, puts it this way. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping shall indeed come again with a shout of joy. Embrace his comfort, my friends, when you're troubled. Oh, it says that the tears only last for a season. This life is just temporary. There'll be someday we'll be with him forever, joyfully shouting. But even in this life, in the in-between times, there'll be times when we have emotional lows and woes, but that's okay. You just go before him. You worship. You thank him for what he's already done. You listen for his whispers. You listen for the things that he wants to say to you to heal the wounds of your hearts, to soothe the wounds of the soul. And he will indeed comfort you with an amazing comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 puts it this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Embrace his comfort, my friends. And you will come to a place where even in the midst of difficult circumstances, you will sense and feel his comfort progressively, gradually, sometimes more quickly. And then you'll be able to share it with others. Fascinating. Got a lot more to say about it. Hope you'll check out that series, number 89 at my website at markpg.org. It's a 4-part series. Well, we're winding it now to number 9 and number 10. Number 9 is to receive his correction in humble repentance. Joy comes from that. Listen to Psalm 51, verses 7-8. Purify me with hyssop, and wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Oh, I just love that. Oh, the Lord has a way that when he's correcting us, the next part of the passage says, let the bones which you have broken rejoice. When he disciplines us, just remember, it's for the purpose of bringing you back in alignment with himself for your benefit, not because he's angry. Receive his correction with humble repentance, and joy will come. And finally, number 10, offer all we are and have to him. Offer all we are and have to him. 1 Chronicles 29:17 puts it this way, I, in the integrity of my heart, have willingly offered all these things, so now with joy I have seen your people who are present here. Have you offered all you have? You know, it's a daily prayer that I've come to open up with, where I say, Lord, I give you everything. I give you everyone. I give you every situation. I give you every emotional state that I'm in. I give it all to you. It's all yours. The classic devotional book, My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers, calls it being broken bread and poured out wine. We offer everything to him. And to the degree we do that, inexplicable joy comes, because we're no longer battling with what we want to keep and what we want to release. We just give it all to him and totally trust him that he knows what's coming up. He's all wise, and joy will come. Wow. He is our deeper joy. Well, Lord, we just thank you for this journey today, and may we experience your as our deeper joy, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org. Till next time, follow in love with Jesus, our deeper joy.